الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين والصحابة الأكرمين وتابعينهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعلينا معهم وفيهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. One of the most precious gifts from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala of all are these blessed moments in which we have these glimpses, we have these brief flashes of light where we taste the sweetness of the deen, where we taste the sweetness of what it means to have faith and believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and genuinely believe in our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 1400 plus years later, after his blessed feet walked on the face of this earth, here we are talking about him. Here we are rejoicing in him. Here we are celebrating his ongoing and living legacy that will remain until the end of time. In fact, the end of time won't come until Allah takes the spirit of the last believer who believes in him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And there are a lot of things that are central to this deen. There are many matters that are foundational to Islam. But nothing is more central to this deen than the connection of the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ with him, than our connection to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Of all things central and foundational, this is the most central and foundational of all. He is the greatest of all of the sha'ir of Allah, all of the sacred symbols of the vision. He is the greatest, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when we tune our hearts in to this blessed Mawlid, which is a celebration not only of his birth, but of his life, and who he is, who he was, and who he will be. And so we shouldn't just think of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that kana Rasulullah. When we say la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, that we're saying that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He not just was the messenger of Allah, he is a prophet of Allah and he is his messenger. He was and he is and he will be sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his legacy has a reality in the past and it has a reality in the moment. And it will have a reality moving on into the eternal future from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to the degree that we understand that and come to tune with that reality and tune our hearts into it, is to the degree that you and I will open up the door for ourselves, but in reality it's from Allah, to the endless divine bounty of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Ustad Amjad so beautifully reminded us in this blessed that recitation of his life story, there are so many meanings. We don't want to just pass over them like that and just have it come in one and, oh, this is the same thing that I'm repeating time and time again. Yes, that we repeat it, but every time that we repeat it, if we're present, we want to connect to it at a deeper level. Look at these blessed lines. Wallahi ma dhukira habib ladil muhib illa wa adha walihan nashwana. By Allah, never is the beloved mentioned in the presence of the lover, except that he becomes passionately overwhelmed with joy. Ayn al-muhibbi. Then it's put in question form. Ayn al-muhibbu. Alladhina alayhimu badhlu nufusi ma'an nafasi hana. Where are the lovers who find ease in sacrificing their souls in every precious thing for their beloved? That blessed companion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he is looking at a boiling cauldron that he's about to be thrown into. And that one who was about to throw him in thought that he finally got him to consider going back on his faith. And he poses that question to him, was that, would you wish that Muhammad was in your place at this moment? And what was his response as he's staring death right in the eye? That no, I wouldn't want the Prophet ﷺ to be pricked by a thorn. Yani, I would rather be thrown into this boiling cauldron and to die in that very difficult way than the Sayyidina Muhammad to be pricked by a thorn. This was how they were in relation to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that same spirit has to be at the heart of every single contribution that we do at the intellectual level, at the social level, at every single dimension. This has to be the heart and spirit of how we are as human beings if we're going to bring the legacy of the great companions of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into this time. لا يسمعون بذكر طه المصطفى إلا به انتعشوا وأذهب الرانا. Never do they hear a mention of Taha, this is one of the names of our Prophet, the chosen one, except by it they are revived and the rust upon their hearts vanishes. This same word, intaash, is the word that you would use if you were extremely thirsty. And then all of a sudden you were given a nice, cold, delicious drink that just completely quenched your thirst. And that's how you feel physically. Imagine spiritually, this is what we're being called to. This is if we come into gatherings like this and we open up our hearts, we will experience these blessed moments that are far from the vast majority of our lives, which are in heedlessness, and all of us are in that same boat, where we seem distant from the realities of Islam, where we still have this huge gap between what it is that we believe and what it is that we do, what it is that we know, and how it is that we practice. This is about bridging that gap, about having moments that are precious and weighty in the scales because of their quality. فَحْتَاجَتَ الْأَرْوَاحُ تَشْتَاقِ الْلِقَاءِ. And naturally, if you have this connection with the Messenger of Allah, there are real implications that this is one of the greatest things of all that will uproot from our hearts the love of this world. Because when you love Him, in order to truly meet Him and be with Him, there is one thing that has to happen. Your spirit has to leave your physical body and you have to transition from this world into the next world. Their souls have become aroused, yearning for the encounter, longing and asking their Lord for His good pleasure. حال المحبين كذا. This is the state of the lovers. فاسمع إلى سير المشفعي ورهف الآذانا. So listen closely to the life story of the one whose intercession is accepted. There's a reason why this is chapter one. This is supposed to prepare us for chapter two, and then the poem that is recited in between chapters two and three, and chapter three, and then the poem that is recited between chapter three and four, and then the standing in which we stand to honor His blessed legacy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking all of these very great things that we can ask for. And as that more than one person mentioned, the barakah of the jama'ah, the blessing of collectively young and old alike, who knows, there could be a person in this gathering that no one knows it's a meaning means for all of us to be accepted. Maybe there's someone saying ameen to Adad from the barakah of that ameen, Allahumma istijib, asking Allah to answer. All of our prayers are accepted, and that we attain what it is that we are seeking. And what we really should be seeking are lofty affairs. And all of those lofty affairs, in one way or another, are tied to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And for this reason, that when Imam al-Haddad radiallahu anhu was asked on different occasions, what was that hajjah, what was that need that he was asking for in his famous poem, قَدْ كَفَانِي عِلْمُ رَبِّي حَاجَةٍ فِي النَّفْسِ يَرَى يَا رَبْ فَقْدِهَا يَا خَيْرَ قَادِي. I have a need within my soul, O Lord. So I'm asking You to take care of it, O best of those who take care of all of my needs. What was that need? On one occasion he said, he wanted to attain the rida of Allah, the perfect contentment of Allah. On another occasion, he said that he wanted to meet with the best of creation in an awakened state. On another occasion, that he mentioned that he wanted to have that complete annihilation in the way of his teachers. And the reality is, all three of these are in reality the same one. Because if you take from the true inheritors of the Prophet and you annihilate yourself in their way, you think how they think, that you look how they look, you walk how they walk, you learn how they learn, you do how they do, you help how they helped in all their different affairs, and every verb that could be used to describe them, you had to try to have a portion of that very verb in terms of your actions. When that happens, that will take you to the Messenger of Allah. And that when you encounter the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will prepare you for the meeting with Allah and the gaze upon His noble countenance and His eternal perfect contentment. And in fact, that they say when we come to the Hawd and the basin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the main ways that the believers prepare for the gaze upon the noble countenance of the Lord of the heavens and the earth is their seeing Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that encounter, there's something that happens that is forever changed in the believer by virtue of that encounter. And once it takes place, now the believer is ready to enter into paradise and to be able to receive. Referring to it as some technological metaphor of a download or something of the sort is cheapening the reality of that experience. Is something that transcends that in many ways and beyond our ability to fully understand how every single atom of our existence is changed. And this is why is that some people could refer to the Rasul as their Khalil, as some of them, Osani Khalili, my intimate friend that advised me, but it wasn't in reverse. Because the word Khalil is the one that has so much love for someone is that every cell of their existence, تتخلل المحبة كل خل من الخ, every single cell of their existence is in love with that particular individual. And for our Prophet ﷺ, that was only possible in his blessed heart because Allah protected him for the Lord of the heavens and the earth. وَلَكِنْ صَاحِبُكُمْ خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ. Our Prophet liked the Sayyidina Ibrahim, but even beyond Sayyidina, he was not only the Khalil of Allah, but he was also the Habib of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So it's meanings like this that we come together to tap into and to benefit from. And when we understand that nothing is more central to this deen than our connection to our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we know that we have to set out and live our life in a way that day in and day out, we are learning more and more about his sunnah. We're learning more and more about his life. We're learning more and more about his characteristics. We're learning more and more about his special qualities, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And then the hope is, and this is why Imam At-Tirmidhi, in the very end of his blessed book on Shamail, mentions the chapter on seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that after we spend time doing that by way of learning and by way of putting that knowledge into practice, the hope is we'll be gifted. One of the greatest bisharat of all, one of the greatest glad tidings, which is an indication that inshallah, if someone's blessed to see the Rasul, they will be people of paradise and they'll be reunited with him sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the next world. And when one of our teachers was asked, how can we see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? These are people that don't have to really think twice about it. They respond very quickly because this is the life that they live. They're constantly living this life of a real connection to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said simply, izdad shokan, izdad wala'an, ihmil hammuhu, qif ala babihi, وَسَتَرَاهُ وَسَتَرَاهُ وَسَتَرَاهُ. And this translates, izdad shokan, increase in longing for him. Longing for him. Just, if you don't know what that means, just imagine Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that how he was, that yearning for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the corner of his home after the Prophet passed, sitting muhtabin with his arms wrapped around his knees, and they heard him that say, wa shawqa ila Rasulillah. Oh, how I long for the Messenger of Allah. And he would just keep repeating this. Oh, how I long for the Messenger of Allah. Izdad wala'an. This is a very powerful word. It's the same word that you use to ignite something. So ignite the fire of love in your heart. Increase in powerful love for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, احمل هم, carry literally his concern, live his concern, know what our Prophet ﷺ was concerned about, and he was primarily concerned about human beings. He was concerned about their welfare first and foremost in this world, even people who were not of his faith, but he was most importantly concerned about their eternal hereafter. Live his concern, that strive to have every day of your life, you're doing something that is helping fulfill the prophetic mission as someone who's representing him, as someone who is following him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or that if you can't be, as we know this nature of this world, if you can't be someone who's learning, or you can't be someone who's knowledgeable, or you can't be someone who's remembering or doing something drawing near to Allah Ta'ala, at least love those and support those who are. Be involved in some way, and then, qif ala babi bid adab. Literally, stand at his door with adab, with manners. Understand deeply that there are many veils between us in this encounter with the messenger in this life. But if we learn how to have adab, if we become refined. And when the first stage of adab is to have correct belief. The second stage of adab is to rid your life of the haram and to fulfill the commandments Allah Ta'ala has given us. The next stage of adab is to try your best to leave what Allah Ta'ala dislikes, that is stuff thing is makruh, and to start doing as much as you can about things that are recommended. And then increase in adab by understanding what is permissible and limiting yourself to what you actually really need from that with a strong intention. And then that dive into the ocean of internal etiquette. And one of the most important internal etiquettes of all is recognizing the standing of Sayyidina Muhammad with the Lord of the heavens and the earth and how beloved he is to him. Read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read that what Allah says about our Prophet and what our Prophet says about his own self, not because he's boasting so that you and I can have the doors of the divine mercy opened us up to us. And then, inshallah ta'ala, with these meanings of standing at his doorstep, as our wasatarahu, three times, you will see him, you will see him, you will see him. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala honor our eyes to see the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the young and old among us have the veils removed, fi khayrun wa afya, between them and the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May our homes be places where if he would come, that he would be happy. May our hearts be places that if he would be split open, he would be happy. May what it is that we do that bring happiness to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we do this, may Allah Ta'ala then bless us to be with him, not only in this world, but most importantly, in the hereafter, in the highest levels of paradise. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi.